the heart of the bill. All right. Because, you know, if you're listening to the left, they're like, oh my gosh, this is an anti-immigration bill. It's racist. It's xenophobic. It's all the phobics. It's mean. Welcome to Come and Take It. I am Sarah Gonzalez, and I'm like, oh, I feel like, actually my neck did just pop there. I feel like I have whiplash from what has been going on all week, last week with SB4. It's like 180 degree decisions being made, one after the other, after the other, after the other. So for those who don't know, SB4 allows Texas law enforcement officials to arrest and detain illegal immigrants. Now, there's been a lot of misinformation about it.
You are fake news.
I want to read you what Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick had to say about it. He gave a very, very good explanation on it. But so SB4 was first, it had been blocked by the Supreme Court, and there was a date on the calendar that I believe it was March 18th that they had extended that block to. Well, then they extended the block, but then the very next day, last week, I believe this was Tuesday of last week, when they reversed the block that they had just extended the previous day, Monday last week, and they came out with a 6-3 ruling that said that Texas was in fact allowed to, of course, arrest and detain illegal immigrants. And they completely reversed the decision. Now, it was, of course, all the usual suspects, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Ketanji Brown Jackson that dissented. But it was just a crazy turn of events. And then, mere hours later, after we had celebrated, like, wow, this is awesome. We actually get to defend our borders and arrest immigrants and actually potentially like get them out of Texas, send them back into Mexico. Well, all of that was like poof, gone in mere hours when the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals decided to jump back in and block the law again from taking effect. So it is,
what is going on?
My neck hurts from all of the whiplash of all of the different decisions all just last week. So I want to get to the heart of the bill. All right. Because, you know, if you're listening to the left, they're like, oh my gosh, this is an anti-immigration bill. It's racist. It's xenophobic. It's all the phobics. It's mean. Dan Patrick said it, I think, explained it better than I could. So I want to read this here. He said, if you cross illegally and we see you, local law enforcement, we can arrest you under Senate Bill 4. We can bring you in. We run a background check, take your fingerprints, etc. Make sure we know if you're a potential terrorist or if you're a criminal. And if you're not in those two categories, the magistrate says that you can spend 6 months in jail here in Texas, or we can take you back to the bridge and you go back over into Mexico. And then if they come back, if the person who's not a criminal comes back a second time, then they go to jail in Texas for years. And if you're a criminal, depending on your level of crime, and if it's a state crime, a federal crime, or terrorist watch list, then you either go straight to ICE or you're arrested and you just stay arrested. So this is an incredibly reasonable law. It's actually, you know, the left is always like, yeah, the right lacks compassion. We're the compassionate party. We actually care about people. They hate people. This is a very compassionate law. It is, I would say, extremely compassionate for a government to protect its citizens from foreign harm. It is very compassionate of a government to protect their citizens from an invasion. I would say that is extremely compassionate, and not only compassionate, one of the like most obvious reasons for government to exist. Like if you're not protecting your own people from foreign, you know, from foreign interference, from foreign invasions, if you're not going to protect your people from that, like what are you even doing? What is the point of all of this? So I would say this is very, it's not only very reasonable, it's a very compassionate law. But, you know, the left is like, no, that's you can't do that. We just have to let unvetted strangers into our state and just see what happens. No, thank you. No, thank you. And so Texas did this. And now, how infuriating is it that Texas is like, okay, well, here's the deal. The federal government won't step up to the plate. So I guess we will take the burden. We will take the burden of actually defending the border because federal government isn't doing it or isn't doing a good job of it. I mean, they're not doing it at all, but we'll do it. We'll take that off of your plate, Joe Biden, okay? We know that you're very sleepy all the time and you probably have dementia and you don't even know what day it is and your diaper is probably soiled by this point and you just want a pudding before you watch your nightly episode of Matlock at 4 p.m. and go night-night, okay? We'll take that off your plate, Joe, and we will go ahead and do it. And instead of a thank you, they just sue us. Like,
yes, boy, have you lost your mind? Because I'll help you find it.
That's, it's just, it's so funny. It's like, when we talk about dealing with governments, whether it be federal or state or whatever, I always, every time I'm talking about something having to do with dealing with government, I can always relate it to how I deal with my children. Like, this is, I'm like, I'm having the same conversation with my 11-year-old about like, hey, maybe a thank you would be in order. The same conversation that I'm having about the federal government and Texas, because really, at the end of the day, I think our government is more children than adult, probably so. But, you know, all of this is coming to a head. All of this, this conversation about not just whether Texas can defend and protect our own borders when the federal government doesn't do it. But also, like, can we arrest these people? Can we detain these people? Can we, in fact, give them the choice, right? As I just told you that Dan Patrick, I just read what Dan Patrick said. Like, you get the choice. They get the choice. Do, like, are you going to, you can either stay here in jail, or we'll just ship you back to Mexico. You get to, you are in control of your own destiny. All of this clearly is going to end up with a final ruling at the Supreme Court. There's no way that it doesn't, because now that the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is in charge of it, right, hearing the arguments, whatever that decision is, the loser is going to take it up to the Supreme Court. The loser of that ruling, if it's the Biden DOJ, the Biden regime, or if it's Texas. Now, obviously, I hope that the loser is the DOJ, but whoever it is going to appeal. It's going to be kicked up to the Supreme Court to decide if the federal government completely neglects, abdicates their duty to defend and protect our border, to protect their American citizens from harm. If a federal government completely neglects its duty, does the state have the right to pick up the slack? Does the state have the right to defend the border? This will go to the Supreme Court. And it does give me, I will say, I'm not usually hopeful when it comes to things like the Supreme Court. I'm really not, because you have too many squishes in there. John Roberts, I don't trust him at all. Not at all. Brett Kavanaugh, I don't love him. I don't feel like he's like super based, always going to be on the right side of things. He hasn't really shown that. Neil Gorsuch, So it's really like Alito and Clarence Thomas that I usually have just full-fledged confidence in. But this ruling was 6-3. So it does give me a little bit of hope that they wouldn't want to allow it to temporarily take effect if they were planning on reversing it later. Maybe I'm just being optimistic for no reason, but I do believe that this court will eventually, the Supreme Court will eventually allow Texas to defend its own borders. We'll have to, you know, wait and see how long that takes to play out. But, you know, all of this court case is brewing. It's obviously being set up, whatever the ruling is, to go directly up to the Supreme Court and get that ruling. Again, how sad is it that we even have to watch that play out, that we even have to watch Joe Biden's federal, you know, government, Joe Biden's DOJ be weaponized against our state for trying to protect not just us, but the rest of America. How sad is that? But that is the way it is for right now. But meanwhile, as we're waiting for that to play out in the courts, it's getting really tough to watch. It's all coming to a head down there at the southern border with the Texas National Guard, really honestly putting their safety and their lives on the line again because of the Joe Biden regime. It didn't have to be this way. It's like I watch this all the time and I'm like, it didn't have to be this way, guys. It didn't have to be this way. You had one job.
He had one job to do.
Well, when you're the president, you have multiple jobs. He's not doing any of his jobs properly, to be fair. But when it's something like, you know, Border Patrol, Department of Homeland Security, it's all in the name, guys. Department of Homeland, that's here in America. Department of Homeland Security. It's one job and it's literally just, it's all spelled out for you in the title. How are you guys not getting that? Of course, they're getting it. This is all intentional. It's all by design. But it's like you had one job. Meanwhile, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And these poor Texas National Guardsmen are having to deal with just these swells of all of these illegals pouring in all at once. So last week, they had a moment where they were trying to push this big giant group, there's hundreds of illegals, they were trying to push them kind of back towards the Mexico side. And there was a breach in the barriers. And I'm gonna show it to you. I'm gonna show it to you here in a second. And just it's this moment where the Texas National Guard just gets completely overtaken and overrun by these people. They just like just barrel them down and just barrel right on through. I believe it was the New York Post that actually took this footage. Here is that moment. I didn't see any women and children. There may have been some women in there. I watched that like 10 times. I didn't see any children. I may have missed them. But what I know that I did see with my very own eyes were a whole lot of military-aged men overrunning Texas National Guard. A whole lot of military-aged men. Presumably, I would say, coming from, because listen, the statistics are showing, this is not just like, oh, I'm just making this up. Statistics are showing that a whole lot of these military-aged men are coming from places like China, like Russia, like Iran. I gotta tell you, I don't know. Something tells me that they didn't walk the whole journey here. Something tells me this wasn't just a very long walk for them, okay? Because there was only one guy who walked on water and his name was Jesus, not to be confused with Jesus. So these people, these men, these young men are coming from all of these different countries. They are getting in the faces of Texas National Guardsmen. They're overrunning them. And then, of course, they're pushing past them to get to their friends, Border Patrol. You know, again, it's all in the name, Border Patrol. Well, I guess, you know what? That's our bad. They know they're supposed to patrol. They didn't realize they're supposed to, like, actually protect. Maybe we should rename them Customs and Border Protection, and then they will know because it's in the name. But Border Patrol knows, hey, they've got their marching orders, okay? You push past the Texas National Guard, you raise your hands up, and you say, I'm claiming asylum, and then they just process you and release you into the interior of the country. But don't worry, because they do have to, like, they get a piece of paper, and as I often say, I do believe, I think that they super duper pinky promise that they will show up. The paper says, please show up at this court date in the year 2035. And they're like, oh, yeah, pinky promise, I will be there. Yeah, that's totally happening. Wink. It's been 3.5 years of just videos just like that. I mean, we've seen it. We saw it at the beginning of Joe Biden's administration. Remember all of the thousands and thousands of immigrants under the bridges in Eagle Pass, coming into El Paso. I mean, thousands. They keep setting new records. It's just all the wrong records, as it turns out. The Biden regime is really good at setting records. They're just not the records that you want. They're like, we have the highest number of illegal immigrants coming in at the highest rate, the quickest rate on record. Congratulations, America. No, they're not the records that we want. No, it's like golf. It's like, your final number should be low. You win when the number is low. The high number is bad. That's not what we want. I think they're confused about that, but it's just so infuriating because, you know, they gaslight us all the time. First of all, don't believe your lying eyes. That didn't happen. There's no crisis at the border. They told us for 3 years there was no crisis at the border until Joe Biden was like, well, everyone knows that there's been a problem at the border for years. The border's been broken for years. Really? You just spent 3 years trying to gaslight us and tell us that there's not an issue. Now, all of a sudden, you want to admit that there is an issue. You admit that there is something to be fixed. You just said there was nothing to fix over and over and over again. So did every member of your administration. But they continue to gaslight you on this stuff. They continue to, like, you know, if you'll bring up, like, well, I mean, you know, there is that great replacement issue. And they're like, the great replacement theory, that is a white nationalist, far right conspiracy theory. That is not happening. And that is really racist for you to say that. I can't believe that you would accuse us, the left, of purposely trying to bring in illegal immigrants to, like, pad the stats for us. How dare you? Well, hi, I'm Sarah Gonzalez. I'm not a white nationalist, nor am I technically white. And I'm here to tell you, the great replacement theory is not a white nationalist conspiracy theory. In fact, I don't even think we can call it a theory at all. It just is. You can just drop theory off of the name. It is the great replacement. It is happening. What else would you call 10 million, which, by the way, they keep using the number 10 million in the last 3 years. I guarantee you it's way higher than that. It's way high because the whole point is that you can't count them all because you don't know, because there are so many gotaways that there's no way that you would have accurate numbers. It's just a guess. And they're guessing conservatively because they don't want to admit to you that the number could be 20 million in just 3 years. But you know what? We'll use their conservative number, okay? All right, because it's still just as terrible. What else would you call 10 million illegal immigrants in 3 years? Like, what do you think is going to happen the next time we have a census, right? And they do, you know, like they're appropriating, well, how many representatives does any state have? How many representatives does Texas have? Oh, look, there's way more people in Houston now. We need to add some seats, some congressional seats to Houston. And guess which party those seats would be? Well, if it's where all of these sanctuary cities are, where these illegals are living, I'm going to let you take your best guess at which party these districts would overwhelmingly represent. It's not just that. That's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to how they can game the system to, you know, just basically have complete chaos and destruction and a bunch of illegal non-citizens who are now helping shape policies, who are now helping, vote, who are now voting, because that's actually happening in a bunch of different states now. I know, I couldn't believe, do you know how crazy this is? Even New York, a New York judge just ruled that New York allowing non-citizens to vote in local elections was unconstitutional. And you know, when you've lost the judges in New York, you may have jumped the ship on all of your liberal, leftist, radical ideologies. But California, I believe it's San Francisco, they allow non-citizens to vote in their local elections. Maryland, they're allowing that. Vermont, they're allowing that. DC, by the way, is allowing that. And a group just sued to try to get that law removed. And the DC judge was like, yeah, you didn't really prove that you're harmed in any way by non-citizens voting. So I'm throwing your lawsuit out. Really? You didn't the proof is right there. You're allowing people who are not citizens of this country, who have like a conflict of interest, who just canceled my vote out. I would say that's just a little bit harmful. But we're seeing all of these very liberal areas take steps to try to creep all of this in. And, you know, I named all of those places that I named are very left-leaning, obviously. San Francisco, totally gone off the deep end. DC, obviously, totally off the deep end. But we're seeing the slow descent into letting all of these people who are here either illegally or temporarily and are foreign nationals. So just by very definition, like they have allegiance to another country, not ours. And we're just in this slow descent, allowing them to just take over. And it's like, what is the point of being a citizen? What is the point of even designating that? If a non-citizen gets the same privileges and rights as citizens, what is the point? What is the point of a border? What is the point of a border if you're not going to enforce it or recognize that it's there? What is the point? What is the point of calling us Texas if we can't recognize the border with Oklahoma? What is the point of calling us? What is the point of being an American citizen if it doesn't mean anything? You know, you're looking at all of these bonkers, crazy, you know, very liberal areas engaging in this slow descent. And there are a lot of people who are like, no, sir, not in Texas. No, we would never. No, absolutely not. We're the Lone Star State. We would never get caught up in that slow descent into giving non-citizens or illegal immigrants the right to anything related to government. Oh, not so fast. Yeah. Let me read you a headline here. Dallas Charter Review Commission to consider allowing non-U.S. citizens to serve on government boards. Yeah. Let me give you the details. Apparently, a new filing by a member of the Dallas Charter Review Commission would amend the Dallas City Charter to allow non-U.S. citizens to be appointed and serve on all city boards, commissions, and task forces by changing the language in each section of the city charter relating to the eligibility for people to serve on the boards. So it's all in the language, okay? It would change the word citizen that is now currently in the eligibility area. It would change the word citizen to residents, people, or persons in Dallas. It's just a filing, okay? It's just an attempt. It hasn't gone through yet. It's just an attempt, but I would say it's an obvious conflict of interest to elevate an illegal immigrant to a position of authority on citizens. Like, I'm just going to go ahead and say, if the entire reason that you are here was because you were breaking the law and you're literally currently breaking the law by existing in this space, I don't really think you have a place at the table. I don't really think you should have a say. Sorry, not sorry. Like this, that's not difficult. It shouldn't be anyway. It shouldn't be. And it's just frightening to see these types of leftist radical behaviors popping up all across Texas. Now, I'll give you some good news, okay? As we see cities like Dallas, I'm sure Austin will, you know, try to get as much as they can in place to allow illegal immigrants and non-citizens the rights and the privileges, I should say, the privileges of citizens. But there is some good news. I will tell you. Here's the good news. The good news is every city in this state knows that if they tried that type of slippery slope, if they tried to incrementally start, you know, moving, oh, well, now that they can serve on city boards, now that they can, you know, now that they have this authority, well, obviously the next, we need to let them vote. They're already involved in government. Shouldn't they be allowed to vote? Well, every city in this state knows that if they ever tried that, they would have like 100 different ways that Ken Paxton, our attorney general, would be down their throat immediately. And I don't think they want any of that heat. So this is the importance of a strong attorney general in every single state. This is the importance. This kind of thing, this slow descent into all of this madness shows you the importance of a good, strong, conservative fighter in your attorney general, because ain't no way that Ken Paxton would allow that to happen on his watch. He would immediately file a lawsuit, and he would win, by the way, because that's what he does. All he does is win. Now, much to the dismay of the Texas House and the rhinos in the Texas House, but that's all he does is win. So I guess the good news is we do have our conservative fighter, much to the dismay of the Texas House. We still got him. And these cities know that they would just, all they'd do is spend legal fees in court, and it would all be for nothing. So, hey, crazy woke leftists, don't even try it. Because my boy Paxton, he's going to shut you down. You don't want that heat. So there, I went from bad news to good news, sort of. I'm trying. Look, the left makes it really hard to do that. All right. So, all right, guys, have a great, great rest of your week, y'all. And we will see you next time talking about the latest issues here in the Lone Star State of Texas and how we can band together to make sure that we keep our state from that slow descent into madness. And we will see you then next time on the next episode of Come and Take It.